we proceed?
Yes, sir.
I think we are coming to the final stages of our work and discussion on the subject. We're not at the point where we want to discuss the motion of reliability that we have raised in the meeting. So now I'd like to refer to the MC to propose his proposals, because that's where we end the discussion. Over to the MC.
Chairperson, yesterday when we started, we had said that we were going to make recommendations on the extra issues we want to deal with. The three issues related to the appointing body, because yesterday there was a perception that we might end up taking the part of the president and giving it to the speaker to ourselves, which could lead to all sorts of problems. The second issue relates to the removal of a member, which is not at this point the parties would have agreed. And the last point, the president related to the dissolution of the board and the setting up the interim board. Now, we are making the following proposals, which as we only the appointing body, and then Mr. Colonel will be the remainder of the resolution and subsequently the interim board. There, Chairperson, amendment to Section 1, if you check in the top of the page, that will say the appointing body, that will also go for a designation. The answer is proposed, the appointing body means the president acting in consultation with the Speaker of the National Assembly. Now, that's the proposal that we're making. We're making that if the president has to make the appointment as per the advice of the National Assembly, that he will do that in consultation with the Speaker of the National Assembly. And then we're also saying if you go to amendment of Section 13, Section 13 of the Constitution is hereby amended as the following. By the substitution for Section 1 of the following section, so it will read like that. The 12 non-executive members of the board must be appointed on the advice of the National Assembly by the President or by the President on the advice of the National Assembly in consultation with the Speaker of the National Assembly. So that's the proposal that we're making, Chairperson. And B, by the substitution for Section 3 of the following subsection. The president must designate one of the members of the
assembly. Did you just say the word or when you were reading one?
You must listen to me. You mustn't say
no, you said the word or, but it's not in the text.
But I'm saying, no, if I said that it is in the text, no, you must read what is written here. This is the issue.
Okay, I'm sorry, that which is in brackets means that you want to delete that from the calendar.
Yes.
Your proposal is whatever is outside of the bracket.
I would want to keep it there as far as Section 1 and give Eric to them take us through to the remaining issues as far as the chairperson, the chairperson, the rest of the other documents. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Under beach. What we are saying is that we need by the substitution for subsection 3 of the following subsection that the appointing body, as we have said, that the one in brackets is the one which is currently contained, which we propose that should be deleted. The appointing body, on the recommendation of the National Assembly, must designate one of the members of the board referred to in subsection 2 as the chairperson and another member as the deputy chairperson, both of whom must be non-executive members. That will be the three. Then on C, we say by the deletion in paragraph A of subsection 4 of the expression frequency planning, that we must delete that. D, by the substitution in subsection 5 for the word president, and in keeping with the new definition of the appointing body, of the word appointing body. So we have to replace the president with the appointing body. On page 3, I'm not sure whether I need to go until finish. Or
yeah. Do you want to have a discussion on this proposal that they read out, or do you want to take the whole lot and then discuss them? so that you have an overview of what you're doing to vote.
I would really like to understand what the ANC thinks it's achieving by creating a new appointing body consisting of both the president and the speaker. I thought when you started looking at Korean constitutions and proposing the speaker yesterday that you were looking for an alternative.
So I take it that you want to have a discussion.
Mm. Yeah, and if you're not taking discussion, that's fine. I find this utterly unacceptable.
No, I was just going to say that is not answering the question that you are asking.
Shall we just get the proposals? Let the simple one take us through the four proposals.
Yes.
So that you get a sense of what you can propose, and then we'll come back to it and have a discussion. Otherwise, we're going to have a peaceful discussion.
Thanks, Pastry. Substitution of 1315 of the Act 4 of 1999. The following section is hereby substituted for 1315 of the Broadcasting Act of 1999. Removal from office and resignation of members. 15(1) The appointing body, A, may remove a member from office on account of misconduct or inability to perform his or her duties efficiently after due inquiry and upon recommendation by the board. Or E, which is the new insertion towards the A1 is currently contained in the legislation, must remove a member or members from the office after a finding to that effect by a committee of the National Assembly and the adoption by the National Assembly of a resolution calling for that member or members' removal from office in terms of Section 15A. 2, the non-executive members of the board may resign by 3 months written notice addressed to the appointing body, provided that that the appointing body may on good cause shown allow a shorter period. Insertion of Section 15A in the Act 4 of 1999. The following section is hereby inserted in the Broadcasting Act of 1999 after Section 16. Resolution for removal of member, dissolution of the board, and appointment of interim board. 15A, Section 1A, Subsection 1A. The National Assembly may, by the adoption of a resolution, recommend the removal of a member from office on account of the commented misconduct, inability to perform the duties of his or her office efficiently. You notice here that from Roman figure 2, we got another Roman figure 2, supposed to be Roman figure 3. Absence from the three consecutive meetings of the board without the permission of the board, except on good cause shown. Roman figure 4, failure to disclose an interest in terms of Section 17 or voting or attendance at or participation in proceedings of the board while having an interest contemplated in Section 17 or his or her becoming disqualified as contemplated in Section 16. B, the National Assembly may, by the adoption of a resolution, recommend the dissolution of the board if it fails to discharge its judicial duties, it fails to adhere to the charter, and it fails to carry out its duties as contemplated in Section 18.11. 2, the appointing body, A, may suspend a member from office at any time after the start of the proceedings of the National Assembly for the removal of that member, must act in accordance with a recommendation contemplated in subsection 1 within 30 days, must dissolve the board if the resolution recommends the removal of all the members of the board. 3A, upon the dissolution of the board, the appointing board must appoint an interim board consisting of the persons referred to in subsection 3. Those persons will be the Group CEO, Chief Operating Officer, and the CFO, and 5 other persons recommended by the National Assembly. The interim body must be appointed within 10 days of receiving such recommendations. and is appointed for a maximum or for a period of 6 months. I think that the commission of a maximum period of 6 months. Or the appointing body on the recommendation of the National Assembly must designate one of the members of the interim board as the chairperson and another member as the deputy chairperson, both of whom must be non-executive members of the interim board. That's how far.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kulwani.
So I will just say that I think that this rests on a misconstruction of the role, office, and powers of the Speaker. I don't understand why you have made these proposals. They're different from yesterday's argument, but I suppose that is academic. The Speaker, as pointed out yesterday, has a titular and neutral role. The Constitution assumes neutrality. She is a person who has no vote. She has no vote except in extraordinary borderline circumstances. And yet you are now putting her in a position where she acts for the Assembly. And in fact, she acts in executive fashion. This is, with respect, it makes absolutely no sense, and I would be utterly opposed to that aspect. It seems also to me to have lost the whole reason why you proposed it in the first place, but that's by the by. And then if I may just say again what I said yesterday, I find the proposition that the entire board will be dissolved offensive and intimidatory and destructive of the security of tenure that an independent body must enjoy. And I notice with deep, deep regret that you have removed the requirement for due inquiry in all of the provisions dealing with proposed dissolutions and removal of members. That, of course, has further implications, and I'm sure it'll be a long time before this whole matter is brought to a rest and resolved.
Yes, can I just get straight to some questions? On page 3, where removal from office, well, you've got A, may remove a member from office on account of misconduct or inability to perform his or her duties after due inquiry there. Now, just following on from Ms. Smuts, then you say must remove a member or members from the office after a finding to that effect. I just would like some explanation on that. A bit further on, where you have on page 4, 3A, then you go, upon the dissolution of the board, the appointing body must appoint an interim board consisting of the persons referred to in section 12B. 12B of the Act just is just the group CEO. It's only 12C that goes on to the other members. So, and then I want...
I want Dolly and Paul Foot.
Yeah, I know, but you talked here, you said you mentioned... You obviously mentioned B and C, but you've only got B here. But C, you get my point. Okay. And then I want to know, in page 4, 3A, upon the dissolution of the board, the appointing body must appoint an interim board consisting of the persons referred to in, obviously, 12B and C, and 5 other persons recommended by the National Assembly. I want to know how you're going to do that. Just, if I may just open with those questions, thanks.
Chair, I would only deal with the first question on page 3, the issue of the removal of the office of the elimination of a member. The question is about the due inquiry and the subsequent section that does not indicate the due inquiry. It says, A, the appointing body may remove a member from the office on account of misconduct or inability to perform his or her duties sufficiently after due inquiry and upon recommendation by the board. In this instance, the due inquiry contradicts the board. Now, the subsequent one, it says, or must remove a member or members from the office after finding to that effect. After a finding of, after a finding to that effect by a committee of the National Assembly. But in this instance, it means that once we make a finding as a committee to recommend the removal, we'll do that. But we don't necessarily have to be subjected to the same procedure that must be embarked upon by the board. You see, we would use a different methodology in terms of our own findings, in terms of how we arrive. That's where the distinction is. And also goes to what Ms. Smart said. Ms. Smart would have wanted that in each and every occasion, in an event of a dissolution or a removal of a member, we must state that there must be a due inquiry. We believe that actually it must be done after the findings of the committee. That's what we propose. That's what we want to keep on. That's
no, you can't.
For us, it's academic also. Due process, findings is the same thing. So you prefer findings of the committee instead of the due process.
What?
I don't know anything. What does that mean?
Well,
I don't understand or don't agree.
I do.
I'm talking whatever, any type of thing you might be thinking.
Yeah.
You know? So that I'm responding to that church. I'm sure my colleagues will respond to the latter part. And so we did not really want, because when we left yesterday, we were just going to make sure that we give enough grounds and reasons on the basis of the resolution. We're not expecting to have a long other political debate on this, because we've had that, and I'm sure it is quite fair to explain how we arrived to that, but then to start to give a justification how we arrived to the speaker being part of the appointing body, we've discussed that yesterday, and there's no change actually to what we've discussed, but that's a position that we're taking. And we are prepared to go to this full process in the next.
No, thanks. I'm sure that after a finding has been dealt with, it means we'll embark on a process, and after that finding of the process, we'll embark on we deal with the matter. That does not mean that we jump back and then deal with it. But on page 4, around the issue of the security of tenants, Chair, I said it yesterday, that you see, Chair, we are convinced that a situation may arise where you might need to dissolve the office. And we are convinced that that can happen. It's not impossible for that to happen. So that's why I said, Chair, we said even yesterday, if there are proposals, how do you do in terms of that, people must come forward. But Chair, this is what we have come with in terms of that particular situation and so on. This security of tenure, Chair, I don't know what that's supposed to do or to mean, Chair, because ourselves or everyone else, you have your own code of conduct and other things which you must adhere to, and you are subject to be removed if somehow you find yourself not complying with certain things and so on. So I don't understand, Chair. On the 3A, on page 4, the issue of 12B and C, I think I will agree, but you see, there seem to be two pieces of legislation. The other one is 12B and C, on the other one is 12B only, where 12B combines the three people, the CEO, the COO, and also the CFO. I had the one which you are having, and I was yesterday when we were engaging, someone came with the one with the 12B combining the three of the five. Maybe if someone does have that one, but not here in front of me, then maybe just look into that to confirm that. It means, it's not correct that we want Dalimpoof to remain there when the board goes, because our intention is that Dali needs to remain. You see, Dali is not the SADC. Dali may come and go, but the SADC board will remain, and SADC will remain. So we cannot legislate on the basis of that. That does not feature anyway. And we are not the mouthpiece of Danny or whatever. They were dealing with it. this is the one with the 12C combines all of them. Yours is like mine.
Pulled straight off the internet.
The 202 amendment, I'm told. On the 202 amendment, that's where 12B.
12B, the group chief executive officer, the chief operating officer, the chief CFO, or their equivalent, who are the executive members of the board.
That's how we have read that 12B and so on. I think we were responded on the issue. We can't delete this amendment. People, they are all
right, it's very bad. Let's just do it.
So, yes, well, thanks to Mr. Kolwani for explaining that, in fact, that due inquiry only refers to the board, but not to the National Assembly, because that clearly focuses my mind on the IFP certainly not being able to support this. But secondly, you didn't really answer my question with regard to five other persons recommended by the National Assembly. Do we sort of have a hat, Bugs Bunny, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, that we pull out of the hat? Where, who, how are we going to do this? I mean, just who are these five other persons recommended by the National Assembly? What process is going to be followed there?
Quite right.
Before we go on, can I just point out something from the source? If we look at Section 194 of the Constitution, this issue of the findings today is drawn directly from the section. Now, after the removal of the public sector, or the general members of the administration, my understanding is that Parliament will determine the whether you certify due inquiry in that particular way, or you allow Parliament to determine its own procedures, still covered under the fair process. Can't just be found with that. Otherwise, you will be subject to conduct. So, what I understand in this section here is taking the wording directly to the Constitution, because this section is largely drawn from the on the issue of five and how we divide five names.
Let me just point out one of the weaknesses of the ANC is the ability to accept what the opposition parties say, like the issue of the Dream Inquiry or the proposal. Now, the ANC says it's fine, let's consider Dream Inquiry and this and that. Now, on the basis of that, the ANC also accepts to remove the frequency planning. A lot of opposition parties do all the time is to reject everything that the ANC says. Because the ANC becoming so foolish as an organization from exile, political prisoner, this and that, they think that they're building a recognition society, nation building, this and that. They always do that. They agree, they say, no, let's agree, do inquiry on this one, let's agree, because after that, then opposition says, no, actually, we reject everything except those that you agree upon. And that's one of the weaknesses that the ANC says. I think we will get over it this time. And that's a problem. I'm sure we will come to deal with that. So the issue that Ms. Smart says now, if you say do inquiry on the board, but if you don't say it any other way, no, the IFP rejects it, because the IFP will only accept if do inquiry applies to everything. Now, we could actually remove that do inquiry from the board, because that's a proposal that they came with. So they're trying to be accommodative. But for us, there's no distinction. But we prefer, as we said, in 194. That's important. So the process of the appointment of the interim board, it is stipulated that quite clear what will happen. The Save for SHGC people came with quite a number of good proposals about who should be the type of. Now, Ms. Smart has her own thinking that the five people anticipated that she assumed that the lawyer with experience in media law might be Justin White. She assumed that if it is the labor, it might be Costanzo. If it is a institution with interest in freedom of expression, it would mean freedom of expression, James Duncan. So she rejected it on the basis of an assumption that she could already see the one body that could occupy the interim board. Now, it's unfortunate because the assumptions are wrong. those proposals made by that we dropped. So then again, in our thinking that you reconcile, you listen to the opposition, you give them a chance, they would be fine because they've got a small minority in parliament. So you don't have to vote with them. Always, you must win them over politically, make them understand. You know, become rational. But sometimes it doesn't work. It still goes back to them. We reject that there. Now, today, we must explain how we are going to arrest them. So this is a very simple matter. Just appointing voting. If you check there, let's go to that, what it says. In terms of number 3, number 4. If you check for that, sir, it says, upon the resolution of the board, the appointing board must appoint an interim board consisting of the persons referred to in section 15B. Those are the three people. And 5 other persons recommended by National Assembly. But obviously, this will be the people who got experiences in the areas that identified in the advert that we normally give. Broadcasting, journalism, this and that, labor, and all those aspects. For us, that's the way that you're going to do it. It will be the same people that you would have to pick up in terms of if you have to reconvene a meeting and from then and you come with the proposals of 5 people based on their experiences, their involvement in the industry, from there we give, and then obviously the interim board consider those names and the 3 other people constitute an interim process, not intended to be long. And that is how then we come to that decision. And for us, there shouldn't be a contradiction. There's not a problem. Thank you.
No, sir. It's okay, sir, but you see, I'm just reminded by one remark passed by Honorable J.J. Marke in the National Assembly in one debate. When he said, you see, sometimes when you try to assist a child, you must force a castor oil to his mouth. But you are trying to assist that child or to cure that child. But it will be difficult for that child to accept the castor oil whilst you are assisting that child and so on. I'm just reminded of that because you
see, supporting child abuse.
So what is the pen says that. Like Mr. Kumalo is saying, you see, if you check our original text of what we propose and the current form, I've been consistently saying we are listening attentively from what people are saying. That's why originally it was the executive which was supposed to appoint the interim. The original one. We listened to the opposition, to the public hearings and so on. We came to this conclusion and also to keep the consistency between the normal appointment and the appointment of the interim board so that there is no departure from the parties and so on. Of course, which I've schooled by Ms. Dinsmart and on the portfolio committee meeting when we're dealing with this matter to say we must keep the consistency and so on. And we've listened, as I said, and we've come up with this one, Chair. So, Chair, I'm just trying to say, Chair, it can be corrected that we are unreasonable or we are not able, Chair, to move and so on. I think this one is one lesson we should try to do that. I think, Chair, like we said, that we've been debating this matter for some time and listening, Chair, and came to this one. We don't want to go back to the big political discussions and so on. It's a pity, Chair, if other people's names will be thrown in like that in both and so on. We don't want to do that. We just want to focus on the legislation and so on, so that we finish these things. What we said, we finish at 11. At 10 anyway. Because 11 is too far. So if you might keep doing that so that we finish at 10 minutes and go and do other things.
That is an improvement from yesterday.
There was a question by Ms. Madhu. It's not saying what is that you are trying to do. And I'm sure there's a question that many people might want to ask. What is this thing? What is that you are trying to do? She says that. I'm trying to bring in the speaker. Say, let me just say, even to those who might have not been here before, that one, we realize in the inter-SAC call ourselves in the board and the board of SABC. That in any event that an SABC board member, the board itself might act in a way that not befitting the interests of the corporation and the country as a whole. And they are also unable to carry the public mandate in which it has been expressed in the charter It is extremely difficult for the president of the country, even the board and the parliament itself, to make any action about this matter. And therefore, the ANC felt it necessary that we must then close that gap in the law, the difference in the law, that deals with the issue about the appointment, the issue of the removal of a member of the board, also the issue of dissolution. Now, the fundamental issue that Ms. Smart raised, and which we think the board has an issue of the independence of the board, because it's the independence of the issue of the board and all the chapter 9 institutions, they are aspects of what defines an independent body. One of them is security of tenure. If you say board is there for 4 or 5 years, it must be guaranteed 4 or 5 years. That's what it is. Two, it is administrative independence of certain institutions, that it should be able to run its own affairs without interference, anything. Three, is issue that relates to financial independence, the ability to raise money or to do things or to tax licenses and to execute the duties to the interest of the country. And finally, it is the ability to carry mandate and accountability of its constituencies. Now, those are the issues. Now, I do not think by proposing a aspect in the law for a dissolution of the board that threatens its security of failure, because in an event that board itself acts in a manner that threatens its own independence, then obviously you can't say that you can't do anything about the board because it is protected by law. It is unfortunately that we don't get this one. Actually, we must have a situation where the board at least is able to account, to be held accountable. The board cannot act to say, look, the whole of March or April, we will do inquiries, we will actually leak memorandums and run the board the way we do. Between May and June, we're going to be in court cases, and between July and end of July, we will be at the Olympics. I mean, really, we can't have a board running its affairs like that. You see, so you can't say because now they do that, because they've got a security tenure, you can't act on that. It doesn't work like that. So that, for us, it does not threaten its independence. Independence is still secure. It's still contained, but the clause as proposing, we are proposing this thing as a safeguarding mechanism and another way of dealing with making sure that the board is accountable. But lastly, the reason we are doing this, it is also to make sure that the board, apart from what I said, the motivation why we do that, the board is able to be accountable to the public, to Parliament, and to the President of the Republic. And therefore, that's why we proposed the thing that we proposed. Now, yesterday, the allegations that they made about Polokwane, political engineering, prejudice, and that, they are far-fetched. It's incorrect. And of lately, it is very easy for staff members to do as they wish, and from there, when you charge the column for they jump and say, yes, I'm being patched. Now, you're not going to say that there's a type of thing separately. Sorry, it's not going to happen. It doesn't fly. We are just poor, hardworking, underpaid parliamentarians who are working day and night to make sure that we bring a good corporate governance to the institution. That's what we do. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. It's always amazing when people talk about independence. The question that brings to mind, independence from who and from what? Those kind of things. Mr. Kovane referred to the issue of forcing people to drink castor oil. You know, if you take it with oranges, not that bad. Even for an adult, if you take it clean, I'm telling you, you're a little. Stop the thought of it. Now, last night I felt like that. When I was persuaded to move from the original bill to this one, I still believe that the original bill that we proposed is the one that will cut straight to the issue, right to the bill. Now, you're absolutely right. When we started to listen, other people, other inputs, not just from other parties, political parties, but from the people. We had to arrive at the situation. So I had to swallow that castor oil last night and accept for the better of all of us. Maybe I should move off my point and not remain in the trench where I was in terms of it. Now, Chairperson, the fact is, this proposal that they had in front of us rather strengthened our hands. Of course, the fact of the matter is we've gone through a process, then at the time, shortlist, nominate, and that's where our stops, you know, in parliamentary debate and say it's a good board, it's not a good board. Sometimes we attack individuals on the board, and that's it. If you look at the proposal there,
all our roles. As the president, in consultation with the speaker, act on our recommendation. Always, whatever they do, act on our recommendation. It means that all of us will have a continuous and more frequent role in the appointment and including the removal. When we started off with this original act, I don't think anybody foresaw at the time they will have to reach one day a point where we have to consider removing a person. But through life, I mean, it's a law, and we've reached a point where we said that is that necessarily the best at the public broadcaster? Everybody claims they care about the broadcast, the public broadcaster. And yet when we see the excellent activities, I mean, listen that. So there's people lower down who doesn't have any role in what happens higher, whose livelihood is being threatened by the behavior of those on top. And somebody's got to ask yourself the question, where do we intervene to correct if there's any incorrect action on top? Where do we start to do that? My last point is that I think our hand as Parliament and through that the public has been strengthened through this amendment. Listen, I think our end is the one that we could finish the president in 5 to 10 minutes.
Yes, Chairperson. This committee and thereafter the National Assembly process and then recommend 12 persons whom we believe to be honourable South Africans, intelligent persons who display the kind of honesty and integrity and clearly the capacity, the capability, the intelligence to do the work required of them on the SABC board. That collective of 12 is put there to do a job of work over a period of time. Nothing will convince the IFP that all 12 persons could be found, not even after due inquiry, but just by a finding that all 12 should be fired. And so, as a result, there's no doubt in my mind that this is the beginning, certainly having come back from Zimbabwe recently, this is the beginning of the Zionification of the IFP, of the ANC. This is the beginning of the Zionification of the ANC, and the IFP will not support this.
Start your proceedings. I'm voting again.
No, Chair, I was saying we must put the matter correct so that when it's reported correct. A finding to that effect is the same as a due inquiry. Because to embark on something and see it before you get that finding, you don't just get a finding without any process. So it's incorrect. And I won't allow it to fly without contesting, because it's a wrong assumption. It's a wrong assumption.
Well, then put it in.
It's not true. If you check Section 194 of the Constitution on the removal of the Auditor General and the public protector, it's how it has been crafted. Now, I don't know whether that was a zonification of the ANC. when the Constitution was drafted and so on. I think that it's incorrect. And we must not allow it to fly, Chair. Unless someone proves otherwise, Chair. Check the Constitution 194. You will find it is there, Chair. I don't know what you're talking about in terms of the zonification of the ANC or the IFP and so on.
SABC.
So whatever you wish to believe, but you must not make it a matter of fact.
We'll put your inquiry in.
Thank you.
I just have one question to ask from you folks. You are saying that as IFP, you don't foresee a situation where all the members of the
panel
will have to take responsibility for whatever. Now, just tell me, which member of the board should be responsible for the leaking of that memorandum?
Do you have any proof that it was a member of the board?
We have never seen this memorandum.
When the board was in front of us, when that memo leaked, it was not in the hands of anybody except in the board. They said it in front of us that it was discussed in the board. It was never given to anybody. We heard here both the management and the board. And the chairperson of the board said that he was going to do inquiries. Now, I'm asking, because it was in the hands of the board, not anybody else, who then should take the responsibility?
Well, look, I think the answer is, I mean, are you saying that if something leaks from the executive of the ANC, the entire executive must be fired? I mean, down to the person who typed the document. I mean, this is taking matters to ridiculous lengths, you know, that a memorandum is leaked by we know not whom.
No, we don't even know
And then you just say that this is one of the reasons. Now, see, this is even more worrying. When you say that how you've crafted it here, that after a finding, now already you're giving us an example of a finding. The document has been leaked, therefore the entire board must be fired. Now, I mean, if this is thinking, it's very worrying.
I was just making a practical example whereby people must take responsibility. If you are a leadership, you are a group that is entrusted with the work of the organization, if things go wrong, you must take responsibility. So I was just making an example where you can say it is yourself or it is whatever member of the IFP, but this thing is within the executive of the IFP. Now, when you have done something that is very wrong as a group, as an executive, who should take responsibility? That's what I'm doing. It's not about, but I was making a practical example whereby a collective must take responsibility.
The answer that might have been in response has not responded to me during any question. So the board, when they came to us, they told us that one, on the 4th of April, the chairperson of the board wrote a memorandum that contained a lot of information. Some of his allegations against the CEO and then the issues that relate to the appointment of the CEO and the COO, and also the issues of how the management lost the SADC, I mean the PSL board and stuff like that. On the 9th of April, the board met to discuss the memorandum of the chairperson. On the 13th, or not on the 11th of April, that memorandum was in sunny time.
On the point of order, Chair?
Now, I'm just taking you through to show us must remember what happened. Now, that's what happened. Now, the memorandum...
I do not know that is what happened.
The memorandum...
Because you ran a kangaroo court around the subject of a memorandum that was never tabled. I utterly object.
I'm explaining what the board told us, so that you understand me.
You have never demonstrated a single fact.
Ms. Smart has said that this board is useless because this board failed to act on the issue of the people and officers of racism against white people and
that was the previous board. That was the previous board. Chairperson.
No, Chairperson.
I'm not finished.
I think you should call Member Jean into order because we can all scream. Maybe we can scream louder than you can. You must get your chance and then you can scream as much as you want.
Are you going to let him sit there emitting a stream of falsehoods and allegations?
I'm trying to demonstrate that when the board then came to meet us on the 29th of April, we said we do understand that you want to table a strategic plan, but there are these issues in the public domain. Could you just explain to us if this is the truth? And they then took us through what happened on the 4th of April, on the 9th, on the 13th, and they said that they were investigating who might have actually leaked because this leakage came from the board. And we are saying until today, you see, you can don't worry about the leakage. There's nothing wrong. You must worry about the content in the leakage itself. Now, I'm saying the board until today, Chairperson, has not shown any investigation or any action that was taken about one of them. Now, we're not worried about the leakage per se. We are about the difference in the law in which the board cannot be held accountable by anybody, so therefore they don't even worry. They don't even care. I'm sure even today there's not an investigation, whether it is the board or the management, but we are saying they did tell us that the leakage came from them, and they regret it, and the second said they're going to investigate. So I'm not giving an example of me again, is asking his boss any question, and his boss is not responding to that question. He said, but what do you do in some of the instances? But that is not a justification check. For dissolving the board, it can be. It can be that we can dissolve the board on the basis of a leakage. And that assumption is wrong. And that's not the issue. The issue is that we are correcting a defect in the law in which it is that difficult to make the SABC board accountable, either by the president or by parliament. So that's it. That's what it is. Thank you.
Can I say that, you see, I didn't, let's not go with the partner, but we're looking with the person.
But you allowed him, sir.
No, but no, I'm just appealing to
I don't want to go there either. No, it was a farce and a travesty. Why didn't you stop him?
We've got a bill in front of us. I want us to move on to the budget rather than rehashing all of those debates. I know that the law advisor said that we've got to do some cleaning up.
We're
going to give this thing a title, and if you look at the suggested amendment to the definition, you've got to indicate in brackets what you're deleting from the current definition. There's a bit of cleaning up that needs to be done. Can you just highlight that so that we don't have to reconvene then to look at those things and say yes, yes, yes? We don't assume the official of changing things that we don't want to change. So if we can go through this thing, because I want to now move towards the formal stage in a few minutes, so then we can approve in some of the amendments and then take a look at the design for this. Mr. Smith, you might want to help us here. If you could take a seat, maybe somewhere here that is all the technical stuff, or you can come here with the
it's hot here. It's hot where I'm sitting. I'm in a wrong seat.
we need
a coolant.
I think you'll probably have to go there to a desk.
That's a hot seat. Let me get
the
chair.
There's one.
Hot here. I'm telling you. And I'm close, I might get a seat at any time.
Right, so what we want to do now is just to make sure that the key documents and the technical correct and all that. So that when we move on the adoption of the law, this will be with the amendment that we have suggested. Did you agree?
And I might have said it in this committee or on a previous occasion, but he said that it's best not to know how laws and sausages are made.
That was Mr. Bismarck, and may I say how appropriate the comment is in this context.
But
dear Lord,
it applies to the drafters also. The bill, this must look like a bill, and it must have a heading, and it must have a long title. But the long title will merely reflect what is contained in the bill. I will not go beyond it. It's not a new. Okay, but no new elements or new principles will be brought in. So, for instance, a long title, and I'll point out some of the other changes as we go along.
The bill must have a name. I take it to be the podcast amendment, but
yes.
With a number.
Yes.
And long time can we agree that the secular advisor will craft something? Or do you want that to be crafted? Because if you want it to be crafted, it's fine, you can go craft, it means you adjourn and you come back.
It's unprecedented to pass something without having the final text
well,
in front of you.
But I just don't want to adjourn and the members say, no, we want to finish. Understand that we have to do the thing procedurally for that. We don't have a problem later on. Okay, so can we just point out that that's one of the things. We need a name for this thing and a long title. The section one, I take it that we've got to amend that to indicate we're removing certain parts of the definition from the form. Last an hour. Okay, so the second appendix. We work slightly. Fine.
Yeah.
Is there anything in section one that we want to correct? It is obviously a mistake. 1A or B, C or D.
Again, it's more in line with the conventions. You'll see that in A and B we replace or substitute the relevant provisions. It might be clearer for someone else who reads the bill if C and D could be in the same format as A and B. In other words, replacing the particular provision.
Okay, so you will replace that. And that's for D as well.
Yeah.
Okay. If we turn over, page 3, subsection 2, of course 2, 2ABC. Anyone change the correction?
Merely a matter of consistency in the proposed section 15 A, B, and C. A refers to member, B refers to member or members. So what I suggest is that we use the singular. The Interpretation Act says that whenever you use the singular, it also includes the plural. Well, and vice versa, but I think just for consistency, if we can use in B, must remove a member and lower down, it's also singular. And even in two, there's a bit of a confusion. I think two should also, well, for me, I suggest that two, the non-executive members, it nearly appears as if all the members that resign, so I suggest that they have to also, the singular also be used.
It would be a non-executive member.
Yeah.
All right. Can I just check on D? The suggestion is that we delete four members in both cases, and then go to the line.
Sorry, Chair, just in A, may remove a member from the office. That seems strange.
From office. Okay.
Not done.
And then, remove those members. Must remove a member from the office. From office. Okay. And then two, a non-executive member of the board may resign. Agree? Right. Number three. Is there anything there at the bottom of the page? Okay. Four on the top, the Roman numeral 3, not 2, which has been pointed out already. Anything after the Roman numeral 5? That's what has indicated. Okay.
I'm not sure whether we properly page 3, resolution of 4 or more members, resolution of board and appointment of interim board. Shouldn't there be another word in there? Page 3 at the bottom.
The heading?
No, at the bottom. The second one from the bottom.
The heading. Is that correct? Okay. Removal for resolution for removal of members, resolution of board and appointment of interim board.
Yes, it is. Yes.
What follows?
Right, then we on to B. B. Is it out here?
Yeah.
And then yours 2. Here. F3. B. This month, this maximum period of 6 months. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
Okay, so we must set maximum.
Okay, if you say maximum stick is 6 months, we understand that it could be less. Is that what we are saying? Because I think our original argument or motivation was, if you look at the kind of people you're looking for, who want to have a set contract, let's call it a contract, 6 months, whatever. If you say that, it means it could be 3 months and then 2 days, and you might not get to that. I think if you include the word maximum, it means any of those days up to 6 months. Is that what we cannot a fixed period of 6 months?
No, sir. It's what it says, that in between. If we manage to advertise and do blah, blah, blah within 4 months, then you've got your board. Then you can start.
Up to a period of 6 months.
One can also use the word and is appointed for a period not exceeding 6 months. Well, it is the same, but I think it perhaps captures it.
Okay, so for a period not exceeding 6 months. Okay, and then number 4, then is it correct again?
On 3A, Chairperson, the upon the dissolution of the work, of the board, is that the dissolution contemplated in the previous subsection 2C?
Yes.
Okay. Well, would there be a problem if I put in a cross-reference to 2C? In other words, upon the dissolution of the board, comma, contemplating subsection 2C, comma, the appointing body. Upon the dissolution of the board, contemplated in subsection 2C. The appointing body.
Okay. The number 4, if I can just check. Should there be a there after the four deputy chairperson? Girlfriend should not go in the reverse now.
Sorry about this.
No, that's fine. But you said there before deputy chairperson?
In which clause?
The second last line of page 4. Chairperson and another member is the deputy chairperson, is that correct?
Let me look at the correct grammatical phrase.
Fine. Would those be the corrections? Is there still one more correction to the one?
Sir, on page 2B.
Yeah.
The underlined wording. If you assume that board is currently there on the registration, has been mistaken, be put underlined. It's not a new that board. It's there already on the
registration. Okay.
I did not get Lord and the teacher that was saying Lord and say that I must resolve. You said 3A, you must just say the rest of the result is 50. Are all going to have that? It's page 4.
Yeah, on the solution.
Page 4 and C. So you said 3A, Can you repeat what you're saying about 3A in relation to 3?
With your permission, Chairperson, the purpose is merely a cross-reference, to have a cross-reference. It's actually not necessary, but it would read, the following dissolution of the board, comma, contemplated in subsection 2C.
Mm.
And then it carries on.
Mm.
Because 2C talks of the appointing body must dissolve the board if the resolution is being removed.
Mm.
Oh,
okay.
The at the end of the bill, the short title would appear there, the commencement date. If we only say that this bill is called the Broadcasting Amendments Act, then it commences whenever when the President assents and publishes. Perhaps it might be a good idea to say that it takes effect on the date determined by the President by proclamation of the day. I'm in your hands too.
Yeah. We need a short title, fine. And then must we specify commencement date?
It's not necessary to have a commencement date. If the bill is silent, it commences when the President spends time publishes the book. I'm not sure whether it's, I don't think there's regulations or stuff necessary which would facilitate the implementation of the envisaged act. So one can leave out the reference to the convention there.
Explain to us some of the technicalities at the end. What is it that we have got to specify? What are the advantages of that? And when it's silent, what are the disadvantages of that?
Chairperson, yes. In terms of the Constitution, an act normally takes effect once the President has once the bill has been attended to, signed, and published, on publication it takes effect. So if the short title merely reads, this bill is called so-and-so, and that process taken place, it commences on the date of publication. However, you'll see in other acts, normally we put in, or Parliament puts in an authorization for the President to determine the commencement date. It would read like this act is called so-and-so, and second section would be, subsection would be, the President may by notice of the date. This act takes effect on a date determined by the President by notice of the date. The advantage of that is that, in other instances, it's necessary to get the footwork right, to have regulations in place. So the department would only send the draft proclamation off to the President once everything is in place. Of course, one can delay the commencement of the act by not having that proclamation.
Mr. Smart, yesterday I had explained what is the process that you're going to look for. And after this process, once you finish it, it will be tabled, and from then there will be debate in the House of Commons, will vote and give to the President. We would want that the act in everything that you do must be done as immediately as possible. And it must be stated in that, and it must be, if the President can sign it as soon as possible, the better. So that's the approach. That's what must happen. How whoever reads it in whatever way is up to them, and told you that we're busy, very soon we'll be going on recess, we'll be preparing for elections and stuff like that, and it's a short period, the better that we finish this thing as quickly as possible. So that even those who come after us next year, they'll be able to control the things that they should be doing without being bogged down by the things that we can see. So the importance and the urgency must find expression in everything that we do.
Yeah. Thank you. Stephen, you're absolutely right. Other motivation is that whoever still needs to formulate regulations, that all of us, without this being in place and effort, they can take their time. And if you don't take the president when we want it done, you could also do it maybe under the new administration, we want it done yesterday.
Yes,
it's clear. Can I just read section 81 of the Constitution, which says the bill attended to and signed by the President becomes an act of Parliament, must be published promptly and takes effect when published or in date certain act. So I get the point so that as soon as Parliament has finished, finalised the final printing of this act, goes off to the President, and then the President must act in terms of section 81 of the Constitution.
The possibility of being acted next Friday,
Right. And then I suppose that memorandum will not have to be cleaned up a bit. Because no memorandum has to be corrected. I think the parliamentary law is right over there. With the memorandum. You don't have to do it now. You have to be. If you got something ready. Okay, go on.
Don't worry, member. I'm not going to say the effect date must be January 2008 post facto so that we can deal with other issues. But on page 2, it's just an addition. You see on page 2B, you see, Chair, you must understand that we have finished this thing around after 12 this morning, and sometimes we were unable to capture some of the things correct. But at the end there, in fact, we're supposed to say must be non-executive members of the board. We didn't put of the board. We have corrected that. It should be there from the original text of the act. So we must act non-executive members of the board.
Right. Now, how long
will it take to
Just 2 minutes.
Well, you've got to get in for 2 o'clock. You can't.
I don't know the memorandum, how long it will take to be completed. But this can, the build itself can be done fairly quickly.
Can we meet at 12 o'clock?
Yeah. I can't, Chair. I've got a meeting with the Speaker.
As she said, make it 2 o'clock, Chair. Or 1 o'clock. Maybe it's easier if people...
Well, I'm... I'll tell her myself. Voting.
After 11.
Yeah.
An hour from now.
After 11.
And I don't think it will take long because then I must have the motion to decide whether.
You're going to do it without a memorandum?
No, the memorandum must be here.
We want to report in the corner.
Can we reconvene here?
Like when the vote is done.
It still makes me ill. It still makes me ill. I'm not going to read this book properly.
You are?
I'm not going to read this book properly.
No. You're not complaining.
The documents have been submitted. There's a formal motion that I have to put to the House. Called the motion of desirability. If I may read it out to you. Mm-hmm. Once you get the motion approved, we can then proceed with our
statements of people. I'm not sure whether I'm in Article 8. I will come to everyone if I see it on the document.
We're going to go through it close by close. What is it,
the issue that we raised about the commencement date, that the SMART gave us the options of, you know, all of us, the research option we wanted to be applicable immediately, and I think that it, now that it's missing.
Chairperson, yes, that is covered by a will, by the Constitution, actually, which says that when the bill, an act takes effect, as soon as President has assented to sign the act and publish the bill, it takes effect. If nothing is stated here, then that applies. If it should have been otherwise, then it would have said that act takes effect on a date to be determined by the President. So if you keep silent, that's the quickest process. Unless the committee, I've seen it in the Justice Committee, that they put in a date on which it should commence, but it's very dangerous because we don't know when that parliamentary process would be finalized. So I think this is probably the safest route.
My concern is if we don't put a date, if we have, then that process of the smart resources also take it some time, that will influence that. Now, from our view, we want to see that being implemented. First, I would say retrospective, but I'm going with the rest of my corpus that I would love to see that.
You don't write retroactive application of the law.
Now, what we're wanting to say, if you put a, if you set a date, then it's all of the rest to follow, and does it work within that? If you don't do that, I think there's a potential, there's a possibility that people will wait until everything else is ready and there's no haste. That's the risk when you just leave it, everybody just do their normal work. We could have an app in operation next year.
Yes, I don't want to check with the federal advisor further the day. Is there anything wrong with that to put a day for the public? We are overstretching it. Legally speaking, just so that we know, because we might say that the 8th of August, and it might not happen. So I'm going to case this in case it happens at the end of September, it's the federal. So I don't want to check. Otherwise, number 18, section 81, it does say that, but unfortunately, part of that, it's pretty much it gets to this. We don't know what to call. So,
Chairperson, yes, as I said, I've seen in justice bills that they've set the date in their bills. It happened under Minister DeLange's chairmanship. It might be dangerous if the process is not completed. For instance, if you take 30 August and Parliament hasn't finalised all the processes, then it means when once the President assent to and sign, publish it, it in fact put the bill into effect retrospectively, and there's no authorization in the bill for the retrospective enactment. So, but we can put in a date like say 30 September, and then Parliament must just, I don't know how the processes work at all, how can I put it, we don't have any say over the process, and then Parliament should just go through all the process.
No. Communications is a national national assembly
company.
Oh, that's for under section 75.
They still have to go to the NCOP. That must be kept in mind, and they've got their own procedures. So if we set a date, keep that in mind so that they can complete it. Otherwise, it will be a problem. All right. Do we have a proposal in terms of time? Do we want to specify a time, or do we want to do it?
The difficulty is that I'm not sure how long it is because we've got a short period of time. My proposal is that we take it as a part of that. That's part of the problem. I'm sure we could say it. I'm not sure because my brain is sitting on a fault also.
Do you want 5 minutes to discuss something that's concerned?
But you see, the date of August was the proposal, and I think based on the new information, it's making us to want to consider, quickly. We'll be back. Did you say 5 minutes?
Yeah, I can give you 5 minutes to confer and to come to the solution.
I thought it was something small, but it's not small. So I've got 2 minutes.
I don't like it.
So when, anytime, so
They'll have to ensure that that is with the president.
And
the
nice people, well, they won't hear the president.
The ANC has been considered all the processes that must be followed, and also to make sure that a due process is followed next month. We have decided that no, we must not attach a date to the bill and leave it, and the foreign minister process, consultation, and executive the NCOP and all this. But it also believes that Section 81 of the Constitution must kick in, because it does say promptly while the process is followed. So that's how the ANC is decided.
Thank you very much. Yes, so we don't have to change anything. All right, I have to read what is called a motion of desirability. It has been kind enough. Can I read it for you? It says, broadcasting amendment 12, that in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to amend the Broadcasting Act 1999 so as to substitute the definition of appointing body to provide for the removal of a member of the board from office and for the resignation of a member, to make provision for a resolution of the National Assembly calling for the removal of a member and the dissolution of the board, to provide for the appointment of an interim board, and to provide the measures to make it possible. Any proposer and a seconder for this motion? Mr. Randy Peterson? Mr. Samuel?
No.
No.
The IFP opposes.
Okay. And this GA?
Again.
Again. Do we have to necessarily vote on this?
Yes, it's reported.
The objection of the IFP is noted. Can we then proceed? We now have to go with the bill as it is prepared by, cleaned up by the same law advisors, clause by clause. Can we start off? I want to put the first clause. It's the document that they have circulated first for you. It says bill. And do you want me to read everything up?
You don't have to read them. Put them one by one.
Yes. The first one is the long title. There's just a correction there between, in the third line, between office and 40, said the word and. Am I right, Mr. Stark? That can be corrected.
Sorry.
The third line between the word office and four, you must put the word and. Insert the word and.
What's
it? To provide for the removal of a member of the board from office for the resignation of a member. Everybody? Third line. Line three. Agreed?
No.
Yes, agreed to.
Opposing the whole thing.
No, we are agreeing on the end. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry. No. The whole thing.
All right. Now I'm putting the long title for adoption. Agreed to. Then amendment of section 1 of Act 4 of 1999. Can I just read this out because there's a slight correction again? Section 1 of the Broadcasting Act 1999 is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 1 in brackets. You must insert the word 1 in brackets for the definition of appointing body of the following definition. And then there's the definition of appointing body means the service in the consultation with the state of the national assembly. I put the clause 1.
Yes.
Agreed to?
Agreed.
Opposed.
IFP and GA opposes the clause. Agreed to. Section 13.
there are no corrections in A, B, C, there's a typing error. Entertainment, not entertain me. Is it the spelling error there? You can delete Y and C. And C, A at the bottom, you got that?
Mm-hmm.
And then under D, by the substitution, we've got four substitution, delete four substitution. It's defeated. Right, as corrected, can I put the clause? The whole clause 2. Those in favor? ASC?
Opposed.
ISC? DA? Opposed. Agreed to? Then clause 3. There are no corrections. Can I put the clause? Those in favor? ANC? DAIC?
Opposed.
Opposing? DA?
Against.
Against the clause? Clause 4. I put the whole clause. There are no corrections to this one.
I'm not sure how to deal with this one because it's only English next. Clause 3, A, there was an indication that we must delete death and may remove a member from office on account.
The office.
Because there was that indication that it must be quick.
No, that indication was in B, if I remember correctly, which we've done. But in A, we are not changing the original. I mean, the original X.
No, no, I'm not talking about the original X. I'm talking about our discussion.
And the B.
Before we break up, we go in there.
Are you talking
on
A?
Yes, that's what we talk about. But if you're saying it's on the original English one, it's something else. But that's what we talk about before.
I see. So you're asking for the removal of the word there. May remove a member from office. So we delete the word there, okay, on account of misconduct, etc. Okay, with that correction, can I read this clause to the House? Agreed to?
Opposed.
The clause, yes. Agreed to? Clause 4, the entire clause, there are no corrections. Can I put the clause?
Yes.
Agreed to?
Opposed. Opposed.
GAIC opposed. Agreed to? Clause 5, short title, this act is called the Broadcasting Amendment Act. Can I put the clause? Agreed to? VA and IFP are opposing the
everything.
Even the name.
Everything. Everything.
Alright,
you are now left. You're missing.
I know this.
Yes?
There is this advert on SATC and so on, where this other guy asked where South Africa, the other one says somewhere in Mexico. So, but on page 1, maybe this will be the South Africa in Mexico. You see, on page 1, under the title, the long title. That South Africa might be the one which is in Mexico, not the one that is in Mexico.
Okay,
right.
Then I need to put the memorandum as well. It was circulated. Under consultation, we will put the full list of people who submitted documents to us and presentations to us in terms of the public hearing. It's Professor Guy Berger, Mr. Mbulu, Nefumbada, Kanye Mkonza, Anton van Wiesenberg, Siko Sikoli, Malicella Maleka, Raymond Lowe and Guy Berger, Raymond Lowe, William Berg, Kate Skinner, Yazin Masra, Elizabeth Nicola Haviland, with the names of the organization. All the people who submitted. That will be, it has to be included under consultation.
Why don't you then call them submissions, which is what they were? Because usually when there's a list of those consulted, that's usually appended to bills that emanate from government, and that refers to the process prior to the vetting of their bill. So, although this is a departure, I mean, it's not really true that we consulted them at all, that they made submissions. Is there any reason why we can't say the following person's name?
Okay, I'm advised that we need to indicate that no government department is consulted. Is that what you meant by
Sorry, Tina, I meant, you know, if you consulted the department or the SABC, if you invited them, you sent a copy of the bill to them, they would be the people you consulted.
Mm, not the public.
I see. So we will.
Just say nothing.
But there's none.
Didn't consult them.
Didn't publish the bill in the government.
Okay,
yeah.
Then none. Yes.
Right, so under consultation there will be none, so you can insert that. Yes. And then do we have to list all the people who made submissions?
No.
Because when you said those who made submissions, you mentioned the name of Kalisim Kwanza. She did not, she does not admit that and there was a guy called Peter Sorabe who did on behalf of the, and it was not a misrepresentation. And that's from our part, if you say she did make presentation, then I think she did not.
No, that's what I'm asking. Do we have to submit that list? We don't have to. That's what I'm trying to establish.
No, as long as you have your minutes in respect of that.
Fine.
No?
So, the only correction then on the memorandum is under consultation, we said the word none. Right, and we don't list any of the other people that have made the Can I put this, the full stop after? There are no financial implications for the state, or it's spelled incorrectly, if it can be corrected, for the state. Full stop on the second page.
On the under background of the name, the second part, I think there should be resignation or removal. We didn't talk about dismissal. Here he's saying resignation or dismissal of a board member. But I'm saying we're talking about the removal.
Removal. Okay, do you want to correct the word remove?
Yes.
Remove the word dismissal and
the
word removal.
Again, under the table, you will see that it says the team seek to address the lacuna identified in the health by redefining the appointing board and providing for mechanism for a member of the board to resign or to be removed, you know,
okay,
by the appointing board, as well as to provide for whereby the board, you know, SAPC board, consistently with saying the board, I'm not sure what become the implication, now we're saying the SAPC board, but consistently said the board, so that tells that we delete the
word SAPC.
Maybe dissolve. Full stop. I don't think it is necessary to say if it is unable to perform its functions and others. If you start, it may be dissolved, full stop. But on the purpose, what is missing here is the appointment of the interim board. I'm not sure whether we need to only have to put it there under the purpose. If we list the others, but the appointment of the interim board is not there under the purpose.
I'm just rewriting it and I'll give it to you.
Okay. All right, so
there's another one. Just what
The last one. This is of consultation. I understand that there was a letter from the committee 20 and here is the quote. Was that not the consultation other than public, the other process, but there was a letter from the committee to DOC on this issue. So was that not consultation? Because we are saying there was no consultation, but there is a letter from the committee.
said that the DOC chose not to make a submission.
But we did say.
Okay, so must that be stated then?
Okay.
Part of the communication.
Yeah. Okay. Perhaps you can help us or that can help us to tell us which are the places where the letter was sent. If there is any other place.
For your Department of Communication. So shall we insert then Department of Communication?
Could we also propose this of record? And then we said we wanted to give them the invitation. I think we have given everything we have that we have done to make this particular invitation. We must submit names, submit place, anything, any documentation that's relevant, it must be given. Must be submitted. Is that right? It shows the extent of consultation process.
Alright, let me just take this thing now from the word go. Background, we're making one correction in the second paragraph. Where the word dismissal appears, we will delete that and insert the word removal. Okay? It's the first, second paragraph. On the background. Then on the purpose, let me read it for you. The bill seeks to address the lacuna identified in the Act by redefining the appointing authority and providing for mechanisms for a member of the board to resign or to be removed by the appointing authority, as well as to provide for a mechanism whereby the board may be dissolved, comma, and to provide for the establishment of an interim board. And you believe the rest. Right? So after dissolve, you put comma. And then you delete if it is unable to perform its functions and other related matters. And you're going to add and to provide for the establishment of an interim board. Okay? Then clause 1, clause 2, clause 3, clause 4. There are no corrections, except in clause 2 there's a double foot stop, you leave the one foot stop. Then consultation, the Department of Communication is the one. And then we're going to add on, the bill was published for comment, submissions were received from interested parties and were considered by the Committee of Communication. List the parties that
Under the purpose, I'm sure after the new statement which you are talking about and to provide for the establishment of the interim board, we must maintain an other incidental matter. I think that's the conventional way of doing it. Normal. It's not necessary to use that part of the other.
Okay, so it will be semicolon. Provide for the establishment of the interim board and other incidental matters. Okay. Can I then move on to financial implications? There are no financial implications for the state. Full stop. Correction of 4. And then parliamentary procedure. The drafters of this bill are of the opinion that this bill must be dealt with in accordance of procedures established by Section 75, in accordance with the procedures of Section 75 of the Constitution. Is it the drafters or is it the committee? The committee bill.
It's normally state law advised. Normally in bills, the last paragraph reads, the state law advisors are of the opinion that.
Okay.
So
in this case, it's the drafters.
Just give us an opinion.
Okay. The drafters of this
Parliamentary law advisor.
Parliamentary legal advisors are of the opinion that this bill must be dealt with in accordance with the procedures established by the Essence of the Council.
Yes.
Right. With all those amendments noted, can I put the memorandum for adoption? Right. Now I have to put the question. Is it a question? I put the bill as amended for adoption.
Again.
NCS.
Again.
CA again.
And you may assume the IFP again.
The bill is approved as we have collected it. I now have to read the resolution of the speaker.
Then we'll
move on to the next issue. Right. Can I read the full resolution to the presenter before we go to the House? It says Portfolio Committee on Communications report on the Broadcasting Amendment Bill D, we put a number to it, 2008. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Communications on the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, Appendix Section 35, dated 13 August 2008, today. Portfolio Committee on Communications had been given permission by the National Assembly on 26 June 2008 to proceed with the legislative proposal to amend the Broadcasting Act No. 4 of 1999. The amendment provides for the removal of a member or members of the Telecommunications Broadcasting Corporation Board on the recommendation of the National Assembly and for the dissolution of the board. The amendment bill, as presented to the Speaker of the National Assembly, was published for comment in the Government Gazette dated Friday, 4th July 2008. The committee received 12 submissions from interested parties and entities, and all the comments were heard on the 6th of August 2008. The committee reports that it has completed its deliberation on the bill, and in accordance with the Rule 243, introduces the Broadcasting Amendment Bill D, 2008, National Assembly, Section 75, report to be considered. All those in favor? Three? Yes?
Three.
You agree?
Again.
To the report. Thank you very much. Unanimously adopted. I will sign this report. Members, I think we have now come to the end of our work around this world. May I just say a few closing comments? The SABC is an institution of the corporation and the board. Subject of controversy for quite some time, both in this House and I think even outside of Parliament. But I want to particularly thank the manner in which members have conducted themselves in the deliberations and discussions. We differed on issues politically, but I think it was done with courtesy and respect for the reality that is very important. And also, particularly for the people who made their submissions. I think members engaged with them with robust debate and discussion and engagement, but at all times being courteous, polite, and respectful. And we valued their input. I really believe in this time around, some very valuable inputs were made by stakeholders, organizations, and civil society. And I'm quite confident that we have taken into account their views and also incorporated some of their important suggestions and ideas in the final bill. For that, I want to thank the members. Because I think it's important for Parliament, for the stature of Parliament, that we listen carefully and attentively to what is outside of Parliament. I think this committee has been guided with that condition of requirement. Lastly, this is the first time that the Portfolio Committee Communication, and we that all the members here, that we piloted this committee work. In that sense, it is an historical moment for this committee. I let you believe it will never happen. This might have happened.
It was a learning experience for me, I think, for the staff. I want to thank all the legal people, parliamentary legal team, trade organizers, the seated legal person, all the other people that contributed to help us to shape this thing finally. Thank you very much. And I think it's a job well done. We might not agree on the final product. That's the nature of politics in the parliamentary process. But I think it's a job well done in terms of the time limits and constraints that the state requires. So from my side and the chair, thank you very much for the manner in which we have processed this work.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just before we adjourn, I think it's also proper that a certain lady whose birthday it is today,
absolutely.
I just hope that you give her a kiss on our behalf.
My name is Isabel. I don't want to be extra when I get it from the mosque. Quick one. Can I delegate that responsibility to you?
No, no.
And it has to be a sack on the cheek, not anything more than that. Thank you very much. Happy birthday to you,
Isabel. I can't define where to open my mouth.
I'm trying to open my mouth. Thank you.